Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Welcome to another edition of Poke the Bear, Stroke the Bear. Ben Hannett joins me, and Ben, some cracking games of NRL for week two of the finals.
Oh, it was outstanding. Both games came down to 1 point, and it was just so good to see. Both teams had opportunities to take it, but big players on big occasions stood up and delivered.
Yeah, let's go back over it quickly. So Friday night, the Cronulla Sharks getting up 21-20 over the Penrith Panthers. The Sharks, they shot out to an 18-0 lead and looked like they were just going to go on with it. However, a few niggling injuries kind of, you know, brought them back in the second half.
Yeah, it just took Penrith some time to find their feet. And unfortunately, defensively, especially on their left edge, they struggled. Maloney, the first try, shot out of the line, made a step in the line, and they took advantage of that. The second try, again, down that left side, he planted and actually took a step back, which made the line disjointed. So just they were struggling with confidence and just on the big stage. And unfortunately, it was one of their biggest players, Maloney, defensively. He had six missed tackles that game. But the way they turned things around, it was their young guys that really impressed me. Kikau, the back row on the left-hand edge, how strong he was, the opportunity he made, the break that he made, the try he set up, and he ran over Valentine Holmes. It just makes me get excited for this young kid moving forward, that with a few more games under his belt, more confidence, he's a Fijian as well, that the international game's going to be held in great stead with Tonga, the way they're going as well. But this Penrith outfit, they are genuine, a team that in the next year or two could be fighting for the premiership.
Yeah, it was the Chad Townsend field goal that got the Sharks home. On the flip side, Cleary had a chance. He missed it. Was pretty down the dumps about it. Absolutely shattered by it, you know, post-game. But you want to see that from a young up-and-coming player. It's got the likes of, you know, Thurston, how hungry they want to win these games.
And the Penrith Panthers board and coaching staff would be extremely happy with Cleary, because when the big time came, he wanted the ball. A lot of players shy away and let someone else stand up. He wanted it. He went for the field goal. Unfortunately, with the pressure, he missed. He had and he wanted it again at 45 metres out. He was going for pretty much a 50-metre field goal at the very end. He wanted that ball. He wanted to take that game into his hands. So there's positive signs there for them. The momentum in the second half, they were all over the Sharks. The Sharks were bashed and beaten in that second half, and somehow they've just managed to hang on. And errors at crucial times cost the Penny Panthers a chance to be playing in the major prelim.
Cameron Seraldo, the caretaker coach since Anthony Griffin was let go from the Penrith Panthers, do you think he's the man to take them forward? Do you reckon he'll be offered a contract?
I think they've still got to do their homework. I think that's the big thing, is they need to make sure that whoever they put in there, Cameron Seraldo's doing a great job at the moment, but is he going to do a great job long term? They need to make sure that they've got right things in place. And a lot of the time, I find it fascinating how they come up with who's going to be the next coach, because a lot of the time it's board members coming up with decisions. Why aren't they asking senior players at that club, or players who are currently still playing at the top of their game, who they think the best coaches are at the moment, who they've learnt from? Because the game constantly changes. If you think that Tim Sheens, a bloke who was a gun coach 10 years ago that was leading the way, is the best coach now, well, that's not the case. So it's, you got to be getting a coach who's up to date with the latest techniques, the new way that the game is played, and is going to bring the game forward and be able to bring something new that teams aren't expecting.
All right, the winners, Cronulla Sharks, they'll meet the Melbourne Storm on Friday night in Melbourne. Now, the Sharks are Melbourne's bogey team. They've won in Melbourne already this year. They'll go down there and give it a red-hot crack. Does Paul Gallen play?
Of course Paul Gallen plays. I can't see Paul Gallen, you chop his arm off, he'd find a way to stitch it up and play. He is definitely will be getting some needles. He'd definitely need needles to play this game. He is a big, once he went off, the game changed. He is someone that just gets through a hell of a lot of work, that just lays that platform. I know we see his workload, but that workload is quality workload as well, where he gets quick play, the balls are an offload, or just steadies the ruck defensively as well. And when he went off, that's when the Penny Panthers came back. So it's so crucial that whatever they're needling him with, make sure it's good so he can't feel that shoulder, so he can get out there and be able to, because they've got to get Melbourne down in the trenches, get them down and dirty, to get them, bring Melbourne down to their level, where it's going to be a tough grind.
Grind
it's going
it
to be
out.
You're going to be do whatever, it pinch, bite, do whatever it takes to win this match, because Melbourne, it's a home game for them. They've got Billy Slater playing his last game at home in Melbourne down there. Also, their back rower too, Ryan Hoffman, he's retiring as well. All these guys that are going to be saying goodbye, they want to go out as winners at at Melbourne Storm. And these guys know how to do it at the big stage. So it'll be interesting to see who backs up for the Sharks, how well they've recovered in this 6-7 day turnaround, and if they can handle against, you know, arguably the competition benchmark who took out the competition 12 months ago.
All right, well, we'll get your tip on that game shortly. We'll just talk about the second game over the weekend, of course. South Sydney getting home 13-12 over the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Now, the Dragons had their chance to win it, but three Adam Reynolds field goals got South Sydney home.
Not just the three field goals. He scored every point for South Sydney. South Sydney were on the ropes. I've got to take my hat off to St. George Illawarra because I wrote them off 2 weeks ago. When they were playing the Broncos, I said it would take a miracle. And they were tough. They were gritty. They did whatever it took. They had injuries in that match as well. They lost Widdup. And I thought backing up this week without Widdup. Right. Also, one of their forwards as well did their ankle or their shin or something. Got a leg injury as well.
Yep. DeBellin's been under injury clouds.
DeBellin's injured. Yep. And then also losing Tarek Sims with injury as well and didn't come back with his knee.
Yeah.
They fought tooth and nail all the way through this game, and literally it came down to game management costs in St. George Illawarra. At crucial times, like that running it on the fifth and last, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Benny Hunt, I know he's going to learn a lot from this. He's a top footy player, a great bloke as well, but he needs to learn from this. He also had one of these in 2015 grand final where, you know, things didn't go right, where they kept finding touch instead of keeping the ball in play against the Cowboys, which gave them energy and they came back late, and also the drop kick. But knowing how to manage a game at the right times, fifth and last, literally all he had to do, the game was drawn up, is kick the ball long. Make him go 80 minutes. Don't give him a chance to have a chance of a field goal. Unfortunately, turnover at the halfway mark, and that's what ended up costing St. George the game. And Adam Reynolds, I know he's a small bloke, and I know he doesn't get all the accolades he deserves, but every time when he gets put in a situation when the game's in the balance, he finds a way to get the job done. Three field goals it took from him, and he did not miss once. The pressure he got, he kicked them a bit ugly, but he found a way to make every single one of those kicks count. And realistically, that's the reason. Him, and I want to give someone else a mention here, Cam Murray, come off the bench, young.
Yeah, huge.
I know we've got players moving on in the NRL that, you know, they've left their legacy, but it's so exciting seeing these young kids come through. Where he got that one-on-one strip at the right time of the match, it was actually the play before that impressed me. He shot out of line, put a big shot on, got back, and then came up with that big one-on-one steal, which turned the game around when they were behind the eight ball. And seeing what he was able to do there, and then Adam Reynolds, and off the back of the Burgess brothers as well, they were fantastic going forward. Last week I was a bit critical of them that they didn't support Sam well enough.
They seemed George to share it around, didn't they?
But in the more. 20 minutes in the second half, that's when they really tore in. They ran hard, offloads came, and Cook at the back was fantastic.
Was
off the offloads, at a dummy half. That turned the game around where St. George were dominating the match. The Burgess brothers went forward. Cook got out of dummy half. There was offloads, which got them back right into the match. And then Adam Reynolds put the icing on the cake.
All right, so South Sydney, they go on to meet the Sydney Roosters. And you want to see the Sydney crowds turn out to watch this blockbuster, don't you? You know, the two traditional clubs going at it
and
Saturday
hate
night
each
in
other.
Sydney and hate each other.
And this is the great thing is, I know the Roosters are missing some players. They've got stars across the lineup from in the front row all the way out to the wing, and, you know, paid big bucks to be able to get the job done. And I know Latrell Mitchell's out. Obviously, he's suspended. Napa's out for this one. So they're missing a couple of players.
Mm.
The Bunnies, though, do they have enough juice to back it up? Whatever the coaching staff do, they need to get them away, get them relaxed, freshen up, and be excited so come game time that they are jumping out of their skins, because this Roosters outfit, like, how do you stop Tedesco at the back? If they got a decent go forward and Kronk is steering them around the park and getting through their kicks and controlling where they start and finish their sets, how do you stop Tedesco when you're on the back foot? I don't know how you're going to stop him, but it's going to be interesting to see if the I think the battle will be between the packs with the Burgess brothers. If they roll forward well and Cook, who I think Cook and Tedesco are the keys, the two speedmen around the ruck, it's going to be a great game in the middle of the field.
How beneficial to have the week off at this time of the year. You know, the Melbourne Storm, the Roosters would have been sitting back over the weekend watching these two close games and all teams going at each other. How beneficial having that week off at this time of the year?
Well, Melbourne Storm came out and said it is massive for them. They had a lot of injuries and blokes needing that extra week would be able to push them from 80% up to 95% to 100%. So that extra week for them was so crucial, and they'll be 100% fresh. But I've it doesn't guarantee you're going to win the match. Because when I was at the Broncos and I was at the Cowboys, we had to win the last three games in a row. We lost our first semifinal.
Yep.
And momentum's a great thing. And playing week in, week out football, if you have the week off, sometimes you can be a bit rusty. You're not used to that game pace.
Mm-hmm.
And the pace picks up from club level. Yeah. At semifinals, a different game of footy where the pace picks up, the hits are harder. And if you've had a week off, sometimes you can be a bit relaxed or blasé about things and not used to being straight into that grind. So there could be an ambush. There could be an upset. But it's just so hard to be able to pick a winner. These top four teams have been outstanding all year, and it's going to come down to game management and the big players on the big stage. You want, if you're Melbourne Storm, you want Billy Slater, you want Cameron Smith playing, you want Munster, these sort of guys, and Bromwich, these guys around the ball as much as possible. Same thing with the Sharks. You want Lukey Lewis, you want
Chad Townsend's in there, the Moylands, etc. You know, they've all been there, haven't they?
The more times these guys can touch the ball, I think the key players will stand up on the big stage and that will get the result done.
So we've got our 2013 versus our 2014 premiers and our 2016 versus 2017 premiers. So it's going to be one hell of a weekend of football. Let's get your tip. Which two teams are going to make it through to the big dance?
I think Melbourne are going to be too hard to beat down there in Melbourne, with Billy Slater being his last game in Melbourne. The coach there, Bellamy, is the king of making his team perform. When there's a milestone game for the club, they don't lose. The whole week is built up around that, and he just makes sure that all the players stand up and deliver for that player. And if anyone deserves to be stood up and delivered for, it's Billy Slater. I think he is by far the best fullback that has ever laced a boot in our game.
Absolutely.
So I just can't see them being beaten in Melbourne, especially with the Sharks, with the injuries that they're carrying. Wade Graham's out as well with his knee. And when the Sharks won the premiership, they were fantastic defensively. Yeah. They're leaking a lot more points.
And a little bit less injury free. Yeah,
less, too, correct.
Yeah.
So if I just see that defensively, they're leaking too many points. They'd have to be holding teams to less than 8 points if they were going to beat the Melbourne Storm down there.
Okay, and on the flip side, the Roosters, South Sydney, what's your tip there?
I want to say South Sydney. I really want to say them.
And that'll come off, the back of the forward pack?
It all comes down to George and Tom. I know Sam's going to give everything. Sam gives everything every week. Sometimes he tries too hard, but he just gives it everything. He runs for over 170 metres every week. But the Burgess brothers, the pack for the Rabbitohs have to all run for well over 100 metres. If they do that, it's not rocket science. That means Cook, they run for more than 100 metres each. That means Cook gets out of dummy half and runs a hell of a lot more. Cook last week ran for more than 150 metres out of dummy half. That changed the game for them. And that was only in a 20-minute window where they were getting offloads, and that was so hard to stop. If they do that, then I would say, yes, they could beat the Roosters. But on paper, how do you beat the Roosters? From Tedesco on the wings to Kronk in the half to Tedesco at the back.
The best defense for 2018.
They're very well coached. They've got the home game, so it's...
Come on, Benny, pick a winner. Who's it going to be?
I want to say Rabbitohs, but I'm not. I'm going to go with my head on this one and go
the Roosters. So you're thinking it's a Melbourne Storm, Sydney Roosters grand final. Look, that alone would be a massive one.
Imagine that. Kronk v. Slater and
Cameron
Smith. Like, that is... And the games from last week, 1 point separating, it's going to be exactly the same this week. In the prelims, it's going to be exactly the same. Not much will be between these teams. There's a reason these are the top four teams. They know how to deliver on the big stage. They know how to grind out games, and I can't see a blowout. This will be down in the trenches. There'll be shots. There'll be feelings on the line. There'll be blokes blowing out. It's just going to be great spectacle, so you want to be in front of your TV with a nice cold drink and a nice bag of chips, because you're going to be in for a real treat.
All right, we're looking forward to it. Let's get it on. Thank you once again for Poke the Bear, Stroke the Bear. Ben Hannett, thank you.
Thank you.